This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Massacre in Colorado. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, May 10th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Authorities in Colorado Springs say a man opened fire on a birthday party in a mobile home, killing six people before taking his own life.
Gas prices may soon be rising after a cyber attack on a pipeline operator that sends oil from the Gulf to the Northeast.
The chief medical advisor at the White House says it's time to start loosening COVID restrictions so Americans can enjoy the benefits of vaccination.
And three big things missing from President Biden's giant tax and spend plans.
Biden wants to do so many things, I'm sure hardly anybody can keep track of them. But I've been keeping track because I've been following Biden and all the other Democrats since they were running for president last year. And there are some things Biden talked about as a candidate that are conspicuously missing. The biggest, I think the most important, is some kind of big health reform plan.
Rick Newman at Yahoo Finance on the issues not addressed by Mr. Biden's trillions in proposed spending. A mass shooting at a birthday party in Colorado leaves a total of seven adults dead, including the gunman who took his own life. It happened at a mobile home in Colorado Springs shortly after midnight yesterday during a birthday party. The suspected shooter was the boyfriend of a female victim at the party, attended by friends, family, and children. Police say he walked inside and opened fire before shooting himself. Separately, in suburban Baltimore, a man on a rampage shot or stabbed three people to death and set his home on fire before responding police fatally shot him. They say 56-year-old Everton Brown had a history of aggression, and neighbors believed he was mentally ill. Also, three innocent bystanders were wounded in a shooting in New York City's Times Square, including this 23-year-old woman visiting from Rhode Island.
I saw a police officer, and I screamed to him. I was like, I'm shot. I have a two-year-old. I don't want to die. Please help me.
Witnesses told police it happened from a dispute on the street involving two to four people. One of those injured was a four-year-old girl. Shootings this year in New York are up 83% over the past year. Don't be surprised if gas prices start rising, at least on the East Coast. The White House is working with Colonial Pipeline to help it recover from a ransomware attack that forced the company to shut a critical fuel pipeline network supplying eastern states. The cyber attack Friday forced Colonial to close its entire 5,500-mile conduit carrying gasoline and other fuels from the Gulf Coast to the New York metro area, almost half of the East Coast's gasoline and jet fuel supply. Tom Kloza, energy analyst at Oil Price Information Service, said the Southeast will be the first to see prices rise at the pumps due to the supply disruption.
If the cyber shutdown persists for after 5 days, it'll be kind of an East Coast, Gulf Coast crisis.
Some smaller pipelines were restarted yesterday, but Colonial has given no timeline for the restart of its main pipelines. The Wall Street Journal says the ransomware attack showed how cyber criminals pose a far-reaching threat to the aging, vulnerable infrastructure that keeps the nation's energy moving. Top Biden administration officials say the U.S. is approaching a turning point where COVID vaccinations are sharply reducing infection and hospitalization rates, key figures in the fight against the disease. Jeff Zients, White House COVID response coordinator, told CNN's State of the Union that we're turning a corner.
We now have, as of this morning, 58% of adult Americans with at least one shot, over 110 million Americans fully vaccinated. The president has set a goal of 70% of Americans being vaccinated with at least one shot by July 4th. We're at 58%.
Separately, Dr. Anthony Fauci, White House chief medical advisor, told ABC's This Week that it's time to start loosening guidelines and allowing Americans to start enjoying the benefits of vaccination. Meanwhile, the daily load of new COVID cases has plummeted with the advent of vaccines in the U.S., hospitalizations, and deaths are also down sharply. Coming up next, three things missing from President Biden's spending plans.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. President Biden on Wednesday will hold his first formal meeting with top congressional leaders since taking office. The meeting will be on several subjects, but the main talks will center on whether he can find common ground with Republicans over his massive spending proposals for infrastructure, childcare, and education. Meanwhile, Mr. Biden wants to change seemingly everything, right? The government's role in the economy, the way we generate power and move around, the way parents take care of kids, part of what's called the caring economy, from the cradle to the grave. But Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance, says there are a couple of things from the campaign trail that Mr. Biden is leaving out as part of his massive spending proposals. Rick, explain.
Yeah, Biden wants to do so many things, I'm sure hardly anybody can keep track of them. But I've been keeping track because I've been following Biden and all the other Democrats since they were running for president last year. And there are some things Biden talked about as a candidate that are conspicuously missing. The biggest, I think the most important, is some kind of big health reform plan. This was one of the biggest debates among Democrats trying to get the presidential nomination in 2020. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, of course, said they wanted Medicare for All, a big government plan that would eliminate private insurance. And Biden ran against that. His plan was what he called a public option, which would be a new government plan for people who could not get decent health insurance through an employer or in the individual market. They'd be able to buy into a new government plan that would be similar to Medicare. And that is nowhere in any of Biden's plans. So I don't think he's forgotten about it. He has some other things he wants to do to shore up the Affordable Care Act and a few other things like that. But I think he figures he's trying to do so many big things this year with green energy and the so-called caring economy and lots of aid for families. And that's on top of the coronavirus rescue plan. He just doesn't have the bandwidth, and Congress doesn't either, to try to make a big health care reform push. So I think maybe we could hear Biden start to talk about this next year, but not much gets done in an election year. So maybe this is something that Biden's going to hold off on until after the 2022 midterms.
Jeez, yeah. Plus lawmakers beholden to health insurance companies, for example, or perhaps pharmaceutical companies. Nobody wants to do health reform the right way.
I think that's part of it, and it's just such a big battle. Biden is a pragmatist, and we are seeing elements of pragmatism, even though some people say, wow, he wants to expand government more than anybody since Roosevelt in the 1930s. He also is pragmatic about how to do it. He knows that he's not going to get everything he's asking for, and I think he knows the limits of what Congress can get done, and he's just not going to push hard for things that he doesn't think are doable in 2021.
All right. You also referenced what's not in these plans, removing the $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions.
Yeah, and to be clear, Biden has never been in favor of this.
Okay.
But there are some other Democrats who say they demand that Congress repeal this cap on those deductions because it's a big deal for higher income Democratic states such as New York and California. So Congress, there's a good chance Congress is going to try to repeal that. Biden's had some officials do a background briefing with reporters, and somebody asked them, why is this not in Biden's plan? And they basically said it's because this would actually cost the government revenue. We're trying to find new sources of revenue for new programs. So we think it would be counterproductive to put something in there that would actually lead to lower government revenue. And again, a fairly pragmatic approach.
Mm. We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. His piece is called Three Things Missing from Biden's Extensive Plans. One of them is healthcare reform. The second one is the removing of the $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions. And the third one, prescription drug prices.
Biden has talked about this, and there is a mention of it, bringing down drug prices in his American Families plan. But I think careful readers of these documents realize that some of this is just sort of the milquetoast fine print that needs to be in there, and other things are much more detailed. So the things where they go into detail about what the plan is, how they want to implement it, how they want to pay for it, how many people it would affect, those are, you know, that's a tell that those are the ones that are the real Biden priorities. He mentions all kind of other what you might call wish list items without any detail at all. If the president is not outlining a way to get to a goal, much less likely Congress is actually going to do it, because that tells you that the president is just not going to be spending his political capital on those priorities.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Israeli police clash with Palestinian protesters at a flashpoint in Jerusalem's holy site today, the latest in a series of confrontations pushing the contested city to the brink of eruption. Palestinian medics say at least 180 Palestinians were hurt in the violence at the mosque compound, including 80 who were hospitalized. Video footage shows police firing tear gas and stun grenades, some of them landing inside the mosque, Islam's third holiest site. The latest clashes in the sacred compound come after days of mounting tensions between Palestinians and Israeli authorities in the old city of Jerusalem.
Number two.
A gunman opened fire at a birthday party in Colorado, killing six adults before killing himself. The shooting happened just after midnight yesterday in a mobile home park in Colorado Springs. The suspected shooter was the boyfriend of a female victim at the party, attended by friends, family, and children. He walked inside and opened fire before shooting himself. Police have not released the identities of the shooter or victims.
Number three.
Even as the pace of COVID vaccinations falls in the U.S., the country has passed two milestones. More than 150 million are now at least partially vaccinated, and more than a third are fully vaccinated. Infectious disease expert Anthony Fauci on ABC.
We're averaging about 43,000 a day. We've got to get it much, much lower than that. When that gets lower, the risk of any infection, indoor or outdoor, diminishes dramatically.
Pfizer says it has submitted an application for full FDA approval of its vaccine for people ages 16 and older. Ford is recalling nearly 617,000 Explorer SUVs because retention pins could loosen and allow roof rail covers to detach from the vehicle. There have been 11 reports of detachments. Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert has been suspended by Churchill Downs after Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit failed a post-race drug test. And if the results are upheld, there's a good chance it will invalidate the victory. Medina Spirit is Baffert's fifth horse to fail a drug test in a year.
It's a complete injustice, and I'm gonna fight it tooth and nails, because this horse, you know, I owe it to the horse, I owe it to the owner, and I owe it to our industry.
Medina Spirit was found to have 21 picograms of the steroid in a post-race sample, which is double the legal threshold in Kentucky racing.
Oh, brother. All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, can you be fired for refusing to get vaccinated?
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Ledger with us. Paid time off, free rides, and straight up cash are some of the ways employers are trying to entice their staff into getting their COVID vaccine shots. But when worker reluctance to get a shot becomes outright refusal, can bosses legally resort to pink slips? Insight from Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, what do we know?
We know some things, but there's still a lot of big open questions. What we do know is there are a small group of lawsuits that are tackling this issue head on. In these cases, some of them, sometimes it is, there is, we know of a former deputy sheriff who said that he was fired for refusing the vaccine. We know of a handful of teachers and staff in Los Angeles who are uncomfortable with the school district's policy, which is not mandatory, but putting that aside for a moment. A lawsuit in New Mexico where former detention center, you know, county jail workers are challenging the policy there. And what they are saying is, you can't make me do this. You can't make me do this, especially seeing that these vaccines are out technically on an emergency use authorization basis. They have not gotten, they have not obtained full FDA approval. So that's where a lot of the wrinkles lie.
Got it. It seems, too, that the instances that you've named here have all involved public employees, whether teachers or law enforcement. It's different there, I guess, than in the private sector, where you can simply mandate that an employee get vaccinated.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that these are, you know, three instances of public workers. You know, I think a lot of workers in America are at will, meaning, you know, they don't have a contract, and, you know, the employer can just, you know, fire them, you know, so long as it's not for some strictly prohibited things. But also bear in mind that these lines of work where people are in face-to-face contact with the public all the time, and so, you know, there's going to be a greater likelihood that, you know, a public employer is going to be offering, you know, like teachers and jails and sheriffs. That's not to say that, you know, a retail company, you know, doesn't have that public facing, but it is an interesting dynamic, Gordon.
Yeah. We're speaking with Andy Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. His piece is called "Can You Be Fired for Refusing to Get a COVID Vaccine? America is About to Find Out." Do you think there will be some sort of decision or ruling that clears this up?
Well, it's always tough to get into the minds of judges, and then bear in mind there's also appellate courts, and bear in mind there's also families that can happen. So it's tough to look into crystal balls, but we do know for sure that there is an upcoming court date in one of these cases, the case of the Los Angeles teachers and staff. That is coming up later this month, and what they're asking for is a preliminary injunction.
It's Andrew Keschner at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, May 10. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Seven people dead, including the gunman, after a shooting at a home in Colorado Springs. Gas prices could rise after a cyber attack on a major East Coast pipeline operator. A bomb attack in Afghanistan targeting schoolgirls has left more than 50 people dead. A NASA spacecraft begins a two-year journey back to Earth after collecting samples from an asteroid. The Kentucky Derby winner has failed a drug test. And the high school kid donating his college savings after receiving a full scholarship. That story in about 20 minutes. All over the United States, shoppers with disposable income are encountering the same thing. Products that are sold out or on back order, even the more unusual stuff. They are hard to find, or HTF, as you might see online. It naturally increases their desirability. It's a story by Jacob Bernstein, reporter at the New York Times. Jacob, take us through this.
Well, you know, look, we have been home an awful lot because of COVID, and our homes are exhausted as a result. They're like, you know, what happens with Britney Spears when her parents expect too much of her. You know, that this is what we've done to our homes, right? We have kind of like, we have overworked them, and our appliances are breaking down. They're exhausted. And so we're trying to replace them, and everybody's trying to replace them at the same moment.
All right. So this stuff is weeks, sometimes months out. Like what? What'd you find?
So, you know, you have everything from vacuum cleaners that are really good with pet hair, which can be sort of back in shelves in a week, to sort of Sub-Zeros, which can take a little bit longer. And then we now have a foam shortage, which is causing obvious issues getting things like sofas. And then it's not just the foam shortage. It's also that there's a Belgian linen shortage. So not only do you have the thing inside the sofa there aren't enough of, we also don't have you know, we don't have enough upholstery. So it's sort of hitting us from every angle.
Wow.
You know, and there's a lot of money in the economy right now. People are spending a lot of money. They're consuming a lot, and things are running out. I don't think that, you know, manufacturers didn't all figure out a year ago that we were going to have a booming stock market, that, you know, that employment, at least among high earners and, you know, sort of white collar people, was going to remain high. And that as a result, we would be spending all this money that we're not spending on travel and, you know, dining outside our homes, et cetera. And it's continued even as the reopening has begun.
We're speaking with Jacob Bernstein, reporter at the New York Times. He's written a piece about the odd assortment of products that are now hard to find. And like the subheadline of your story referenced natural deodorant. Really?
Yes. Yes. Well, this was one of my favorite things, although, I mean, that one of the people who launched this, this person launched a line of natural deodorants and kind of figured at the start of the pandemic, well, you know, if people aren't going to the office as much, they're not going to use as much deodorant. But in fact, they began to experiment with new types of deodorant and began to sort of transition to natural deodorants. Even more interesting to me than that, actually, was hearing from sort of plastic surgeons and cosmetic dermatologists who make medical-grade skincare products, and their products are running out because we've all been looking at ourselves on Zoom, and it's so unflattering. And so even though we're not actually getting dressed up, we want to look better. So people are spending enormous amounts of money and time on beauty products. Now, similarly, the watch craze of 20 and 21, and this is particularly true of, you know, with respect to Rolex, Patek Philippe, and Audemars Piguet, the sort of holy trinity of the, you know, of Geneva watch companies, they are extraordinarily difficult to find as well. And I think that one of the things that's gone on is that, like, you're not even getting dressed, but you want to look at something that looks nice. And so you put on a watch, which takes 1 second, and you stare at your wrist. Now, that's obviously if you have $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $100,000 to spend on a watch. Yeah. But lots of people right. do and are, and they are, you know, if you want to buy a Submariner for your kid's graduation, you know, good luck with that, doing that in a store at this
wow.
point. You know, stainless steel and solid gold sports watches are from Rolex are basically gone. And the only way that you can get them now, if you go into one of the sort of major dealerships, is usually that you're going to buy something that is less desirable, and you basically set up a relationship with these stores in which there's an almost quid pro quo. Jeez. About you buy a watch that they're having trouble getting rid of, they'll get you one from the back that everyone wants.
Thanks, Jacob. Jacob Bernstein, reporter at the New York Times. Coming up next, when you leave a professional golf tournament too early. When you start a small business, you do it because it's something that you love. And when it's successful, that's great. But it brings new challenges you might not have thought of, mainly HR. HR compliance issues can cause complex problems that, let's face it, you don't have time for. And it's got to be done right or it could destroy your business. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small businesses. Get a dedicated HR manager available by phone, email, or real-time chat to craft HR policy and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. And there's no risk. It's month-to-month with no hidden fees. Cancel anytime. Bambee's dedicated HR managers will know your business and your specific concerns no matter what state you're in. With Bambee, you'll have peace of mind and never worry about HR compliance again. Go to Bambee.com/Gordon right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambee.com/Gordon, spelled BAM to the BEE.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you'd imagine that if you're a pro golfer who didn't make the cut, you'd want to get out of Dodge as soon as possible so you can refocus on the next tournament. However, it might be a good idea to double check that you're actually out before splitting. PGA Tour star Bryson DeChambeau found that out this weekend in Charlotte at the Wells Fargo Championship. DeChambeau shot a 74 in the second round on Friday and thought he was going to miss the cut, so he flew home to Dallas. Turns out he did in fact make the cut, so he needed to quickly jet back to Charlotte on a 2:45 a.m. flight to make an 8:10 a.m. Saturday morning tee time.
Wow.
And it's a good thing he did. DeChambeau rallied over the weekend, shooting 3 under Saturday and Sunday to finish in ninth place overall and take home $228,000 for his trouble.
Right.
Not bad at all.
All right, so minus taxes, he walks away with 160.
Yeah.
Minus what's the private jet cost? I looked briefly. I couldn't get anywhere without
10, 15 grand, somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely
that
worth his
costs,
while,
right?
for sure.
Could you imagine?
Not bad at all. Yeah, I don't know what kind of I guess he just guessed that he wasn't going to make the cut, or he just assumed. I think at the time he finished his round, he was maybe tied for 90th or something like that.
Mm.
And I guess as the round progressed, you know, his score progressively got better as it went along. So people fell behind him as he was packing up and getting ready to jump on a plane and leave.
Wouldn't you want to just stick around and just, I don't know, spend the night in Charlotte? It's a nice city.
Yeah,
grab dinner somewhere.
I suppose he's probably been there before a lot of times. You know, maybe just want to get home, you know, kind of lick his wounds and get ready for next week.
Imagine if he had won.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine?
That would have been pretty cool.
Right? What could he possibly gotten? 3 hours of sleep?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's what I mean. The lack of sleep didn't seem to affect him.
Wow.
And is it a rat or is it a raccoon? It's a debate you could likely only have in New York City and the kind of weird controversy that could only happen to the New York Mets. What we do know is that there was some sort of disturbance in the tunnel leading to the Mets dugout during their game on Friday night, leading to Mets players being seen racing into the tunnel to investigate. What we don't know is what exactly was going on down there. Speculation has it that Mets players Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil got involved in some sort of heated argument and possibly a scuffle. However, Lindor and McNeil told reporters that it wasn't a fight, but rather a debate between the two over whether an animal they spotted down there was a giant rat or a raccoon. Though few people believe that story, the Mets are leaning into it anyway, debuting a new between-inning game on their scoreboard over the weekend where fans pick rat or raccoon based on clues that they are given.
Oh, brother.
I mean... Yeah. Dude, okay. How about those Mets?
Huh?
But you know what? It it bred a winning streak,
yes,
didn't it?
Has.
Now the team's rolling now, winning four in a row.
Right. It's always so funny when the media makes a big deal about players in a scuffle of some kind.
Yeah.
Coaches in a scuffle, or not a scuffle, but I mean, you know, yelling at each other. Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it happens.
Yeah. Well, some of these things happen behind the scenes, or a lot of happen behind the scenes, but what sort of seeing all the Mets players kind of run into the tunnel,
you
assume something big was going on.
Because it might have been
there.
A raccoon.
Right. Yeah. Look, everyone, there's a raccoon.
Because that's everybody's first instinct.
Yeah,
let's go see if there's a raccoon or perhaps a rabid rat inside the tunnel and go stand around.
Let's go around. We've never seen one of those before.
Yeah, great job, Mets. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. Glad you're with us. Expect to pay more for Uber and Lyft. Both companies are facing a shortage of drivers as returning and newly vaccinated customers again flood the apps. The Washington Post says it's resulting in longer wait times and higher fares. The company cited drivers' ongoing hesitance regarding fears of contracting the coronavirus and lingering concerns that demand has dried up, even as customers in many major cities have resumed riding. Uber and Lyft are offering incentives and paying out what they say are record wages as they attempt to lure drivers back. The shortage is in part prompted by workers who left the apps when the risks of driving during the coronavirus were highest and the vectors of transmission were not completely understood. Uber and Lyft say demand was down by as much as 75%. Uber last month announced a $250 million incentive program to boost driver earnings. in an effort to encourage drivers to come back. The company said medium wages are also up in major cities because there are more customers seeking trips than drivers to provide them, which hikes up fares. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Fresh clashes have broken out between Israeli police and Palestinians in a mosque in Jerusalem ahead of a planned Jewish nationalist march. Palestinians threw stones at Israeli security forces who fired stun grenades. Hundreds of Palestinians and more than 20 Israeli police have been injured in clashes over the past 3 days. The latest violence follows a month of tension, with the threatened eviction of Palestinian families a focal point.
Number two.
The death toll in a bomb attack targeting schoolgirls in Kabul, Afghanistan on Saturday has risen to 85. Another 147 wounded people were wounded. A car bomb was detonated in front of the school, and two more bombs exploded when students rushed out in a panic. There's been no official claim of responsibility. The Taliban has denied being behind the attack.
Number three.
The cyber attack attempt that has forced the shutdown of a vital gas and diesel pipeline was carried out by a criminal gang known as Darkside. The shutdown, meanwhile, stretched into its third day. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo on CBS.
This is what businesses now have to worry about, and I will be working very closely with Ali Mayorkas on this. It's a top priority for the administration.
The pipeline carries fuel from Texas to the Northeast. India's battle with the coronavirus is growing more dire. Just over 403,000 confirmed cases were reported yesterday, including 4,092 deaths. Vaccinations per day have dropped, while oxygen supplies at the nation's hospitals remain low. COVID numbers are improving across the U.S., but there are new concerns in Florida due to a surge in variants. According to a report from ABC, the cases appear to be tied to the surge of young people who flooded the beaches during spring break. The report says there were 753 variant cases in mid-March. That number has jumped now to over 11,000 last week. Tom Brady's first NFL touchdown pass will officially be part of history. The historic football that Brady threw for his first ever score is up for auction. In a comeback victory against the, at the time, San Diego Chargers on October 14, 2001, Brady connected with wide receiver Terry Glenn for a 21-yard score, the first touchdown pass of his Hall of Fame career. After Glenn celebrated the touchdown, he launched the football into the stands, and it was grabbed by the current seller.
He threw Tom Brady's first touchdown pass football into the stands.
Well, he didn't giving it to the quarterback. It was going to be a big deal, I guess.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy. Thanks for being with us. A story of generosity by a high school student. Joshua Nelson landed a full scholarship to Southeast Missouri State University. Now he wants to pay it forward by donating his college savings to another high school senior. CNN says Mr. Nelson, a senior at St. Charles West High School in Missouri, was one of only five students selected for the prestigious President Scholarship at the university. The City of St. Charles School District says a total of 288 people applied. The scholarship, valued at $43,000, will cover tuition and boarding for 4 years. Now that it's paid for, the 18-year-old decided to donate the $1,000 he saved for college to another student in need. Mr. Nelson is hoping that local businesses and others will feel inspired to match his starting donation, so the new scholarship can help several students. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.